strong faith. We oftentimes talk about how to develop strong faith. And as we said last week, we define it. We make it our business to try to grow and develop and have a strong and mature faith. But we're trying to answer in connection with that, what are the benefits of a strong faith? And so that's what we want to conclude this evening. When we achieve our having a strong faith, the faith that sees us through, what are the benefits of that? So you may remember we started last week and we talked about four of those. First of all was peace, joy, and hope. And that comes from one passage of scripture that we discussed back then. But all of these are things that we may not think of every day, but we do have peace knowing that our sins are forgiven, that we are at one with God, and so that brings peace. It's disharmony if we are not in fellowship with God. Then second is joy, and that results from having the peace and knowing that all is well between ourselves and God. And then the hope that is set before us based on Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead, a living hope that is reserved in heaven for us. And so we discussed that from 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5 last week. Second, we have as a blessing of a strong faith being able to defeat Satan, and the more we defeat, the easier it becomes to overcome the temptations that he throws at us. Then number three, overcoming adversity. There are things that we face in life that are just difficult, but a strong faith helps us overcome those problems. And we finished with the power to live daily. Not everything is an emergency. Not everything is something that is catastrophic, fortunately. There are just daily problems that we have to overcome, and having a strong faith gives us the power to live on a daily basis, overcoming those things and triumphing over them. Now, you may have made out your own list, and that's fine. And you may have some things on your list that we're not going to talk about, and that's great if you do. But we'd like to finish now with the last four that deal with this topic that we've prepared. First is the ensuring the blessings that God offers, ensuring that those occur. And that is done by living a faithful life. God made three promises to Abraham: the land promise, the nation promise, the seed promise. Initially in Genesis 12, 1 through 7, but later on repeated at various times to Abraham, and then also to Isaac and Jacob as well. Now, even, we need to point out something about this, these three promises, because we might grow discouraged with connection with some of the promises God makes us. And that is, Abraham never saw any of those fulfilled. Three promises, but he never saw any one of them fulfilled in his lifetime. Even when Israel moved to Egypt, there were only 70 of them, and so that hardly constitutes a great nation. It's pretty easy to count 70. At Abraham's death, they had not yet inherited Canaan and would not for another couple hundred years until they came out of Egypt. So they got no land promise. Oh, he lived there and lived in various cities in the land of Canaan, but he did not possess the land. It was not his and his descendants like it would be once they came out of Egypt and God helped them conquer the land. And the seed promise, who is Christ, would be almost 2,000 years later. So he never saw that fulfilled except as God revealed it to him as to what would be, but he didn't see the fulfillment of it in actuality. It would have been easy for Abraham to grow discouraged. Or he might have said, well, I know that the promises of God are irrevocable, and it doesn't matter how I live, God's going to fulfill those promises. Of course, if Abraham had possessed that attitude, God would have never made the promises to him in the first place. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, God decides to communicate something to Abraham because of who Abraham is and because of what Abraham will do. And that text reads, Genesis 18, 19, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." So God thoroughly knew who Abraham was. He knew his character. And he knew he could count on him to do the right thing. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with the faithful or believing Abraham." Some translations have believing, and some have faithful. The King James and the American Standard have faithful. Some of the more newer translations, believing. Either one is fine. They both communicate exactly the same thing. I just happen to personally prefer faithful. I like that phrase better. But believing works just as well also. Now, would God have made such promises to somebody who would be known as unbelieving or unfaithful Abraham? That doesn't seem likely, does it? No, Abraham was a faithful man, and he died believing that God would do as he promised. Although he had not fulfilled any of the three promises at the time of his death. But just as God knew Abraham, so did Abraham know God. And he knew he could trust him. When we follow the teachings of God, we too are confident that God is going to keep his promises. He will give us the power to live daily, to overcome adversity in life, to defeat Satan, to provide us hope, peace, joy, and hope. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that God is faithful, and this is stated in his help in overcoming sin in our lives. "No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So we trust in God, And he also trusts in us. But we need to live faithfully to help bring about these blessings in our lives and be sure that the promises do apply to us as God intends them to. Now, we'll say a little bit more about that on another point in a few minutes. But for right now, we want to go to the sixth point, the second one of this evening. And that is one of the blessings of faith is being able to kill giants. And of course, we think about David in connection with that. Consider his attitude going back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go out to against this Philistine to fight him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to be his father, keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Now that's a tremendous attitude, and it is that outlook that enabled him to accomplish what he did, which was the defeat of Goliath. In fact, David was able to conquer every external enemy. He did have a problem with himself on one occasion, but he was able to conquer every external enemy because he was a man of faith. He always prevailed over the enemies of the Lord, and a strong faith will help you overcome problems, obstacles, and enemies. You may not face any giants, but you will face some things that are very difficult. In Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham is named as a hero of the faith. So is David, along with Enoch, Noah, Moses, and many others. In fact, let's read Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 32. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 32. "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through wisdom," or faith rather, "subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Now, of course, that's a very inspiring passage, but some are likely to respond by saying, "Oh, but these are superheroes." Really? James says that Elijah was a man of like passions, just like the rest of us. And yet, he was able to pray, and rain was halted for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and James 5, 17 and 18 recounts that. And God sent forth rain. What made all of these heroes successful was one thing that they all had in common, and that was their faith in God. You can have that faith. It's not restricted to them. It is available to all who seek it. You may not need to face Goliath, but you can still triumph over lesser problems that you might have in your daily life. It's one of the blessings of faith, living confidently now as well as in the future that is promised to us. And by the way, this is not pop psychology, as you find in a lot of self-help books and things of that nature. This is what we actually see unfolding in the pages of the Scriptures. Now let's go on to the seventh point, and that is determining your family's future. Notice Joshua's challenge to the people from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. I know we often refer to this, but let's do it again. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, and here's a point that we made this morning, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now we've heard that many times, and we're likely to hear it many more times, but we do gather something from reading and rereading this passage, and that was that Joshua was not a wishy-washy leader, either for the nation of Israel or for his own family. He knew where he stood. He knew where his family stood. They, like he, were going to be faithful. Now, I could name names, but I have no intention of doing that. But you and I have both seen people who were once faithful to God, at least in appearance, but they have departed from his ways. It started usually by quitting coming to class, then by not coming to Sunday evening worship, and finally just quitting altogether. This is followed usually by an increased involvement with the world in certain points. But now look at those who have quit. Their families will be raised not knowing the Lord. I talked with someone recently who said, you know, I never knew that my grandparents were members of the Lord's church. Our parents never told us. We never worshiped. We didn't know anything about it. It only takes one generation to cause all of a person's descendants to be lost. That's all it takes, is one generation. Likewise, we can establish a line of faithfulness as Joshua did. But every generation must be taught the fundamentals, or they can drift away and their families drift away after them. How sad it is to see an entire branch of a family just waste away apart from God. A benefit of strong faith is influencing your family for generations to come for righteousness. Number eight, seeing life to its successful conclusion is one of the benefits of a strong faith. The ultimate example, of course, is Jesus. Let's look back at that passage that was read a few moments ago, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And as you look at that, you may notice a key word. Now, actually, you might notice several key words. You might consider run as a key word, and it is. You might look at some other words there and think, I think this is key. But notice in particular the word endurance in verse 1 and endure in verses 2 and 3. Three times this same Greek word is found, once as a noun and twice as a verb. Jesus ran with endurance. We are charged with running with endurance, the race that is set before us. And we are to look at our chief example. There are many, many good examples we have in the scriptures, but Jesus is the greatest and highest example, and he is the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He despised the shame, and he has since sat down at the right hand of God, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And so we are to endure. And this is what the text is encouraging us to do. There's a great cloud of witnesses you may have noticed as we were looking through that. And they are on our side. Faith gives us the power to endure and the expectation of the reward, just as Jesus had. Furthermore, those who have gone on before us are all cheering us. It is as though we are in an amphitheater running a race, and there are witnesses, clouds of witnesses in the stands looking on and cheering us to victory. They know all about the weights. They had them too. They know all about discouragement. They had it too. You know, Elijah, we said a few moments ago, was a man with like passions as we are. He was so much like us that he grew discouraged, thinking that there was no one who was left, even after he had accomplished such great things by faith. He grew discouraged. These men are not superheroes. They're just every much like we are. And sometimes when we have a great victory, we can grow discouraged afterward too, because there's always another battle that needs to be fought, always another race that needs to be run. But we need to know from looking at these examples, as listed in Hebrews chapter 11, that success can await us every bit as much as they were able to achieve. We too shall have eternal joy as a reward. Now, you know, when a team wins, and your favorite team wins, everybody gets excited. For example, this past summer, Houston won the World Series for the first time ever in its existence. And of course, fans were ecstatic over that, as, you know, is usually the case. Or you can look ahead to the Super Bowl coming up. But, you know, the problem is all these are temporary. You win the World Series this year, but you got to go out and play next year and try to prove you're as good as you were last year. You win the Super Bowl this year, the next thing on your mind is to get in shape and win it next year. You've got to do it all over again, not in heaven. when you get that reward, it's permanent. You don't have to say, oh, I really enjoy this award. I'm really glad I received it. I'm ready to go back to earth and do it all over again. No, you don't have to do that. Once you have it, it's yours. You get to continue to rejoice. You won't have to prove yourself again. You already have. You've already won. You already have the victory. And your strong faith enables you to have that expectation where you don't have to go out and play again. You don't have to go out and fight again. You get to be and enjoy the victory in eternity. Well, these are eight things then that are capable of being produced by a strong faith. They give you peace and joy and hope. A strong faith allows you to defeat Satan. And by the way, he doesn't ever give up. He is always going to be there. But you can have the faith to overcome. A strong faith will help you overcome adversity and also the power to live on a daily basis. It ensures that the blessings that God promised will occur to us individually because of our strong faith. We can kill giants. I know we're probably not going to find many like Goliath, but there's a lot of things out there of that nature. May not be as intimidating, but it's still a problem. But our strong faith can help us overcome those things. We can determine our family's future. What's it going to be in 20 years? What's it going to be in 40 years? We have the power to decide that, and a strong faith is going to influence them for righteousness. And then finally, we have the faith to see life to its successful conclusion. The time you spend reading the scriptures, the time you spend praying, meditating, thinking about spiritual matters, and fellowshipping brethren is not wasted. All of these things are going to contribute to you having a strong faith. And then you'll have all these benefits that come with that strong faith. Tonight, if you have been slipping, we invite you to get back on the proper track and be able to continue to work on developing your faith so that you can overcome all these things and stand. If you've never obeyed the gospel and you know what the scriptures require, we invite you to respond too as we stand and as we sing.